This is Abnormal Entertainment.
I am a real American, fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American, fight for what's right, fight for your life.
You're listening to the No Cry Zone, a progressive political podcast on the Abnormal Entertainment Network, live from Blue Frog Books in Howell, Michigan, the belly of the beast.
Welcome to the No Cry Zone, take two. Technical difficulties. Actually, it's probably a good thing because we went off the rails, worked a little blue in the first passage, but I'm here with Rob Vidro, John Arking,
Cornhole,
and we're back, the effing new guy, Kelly Blades.
Yay! So basically, to explain, we got about 45 minutes into our episode this week, and technical difficulties have destroyed that.
Turns out I'm the gooch.
Yeah,
I'm the guy.
You have destroyed everything
single-handedly.
The Ted McGinley.
We are now recording on my iPhone,
huddled in the darkness in a broom closet at Blue Frog Books.
So
and more.
So we have a limited amount of time now because
you know what? I blame the Republicans. They are afraid of us.
You're right.
They're afraid of the message we send.
So they came in and poked holes in your cord?
Well, it doesn't work like a hose. Oh,
it's right. Not them. It's a tier Republican group that came in. It's not the actual Republican.
All right. Well, there was some good stuff about the Republican.
Yeah, you should have been there.
Dude, John.
I was brilliant.
John said the smartest thing I have ever heard in my life, and if only we could have it recorded.
I know.
It changed my life.
And
I wept.
All we're going to get is cornhole.
And all we're going to get is cornhole.
So, and I'm not even going to explain how that reference got in there.
Still illegal.
But nonetheless.
But if you go to bluefrogbooksandmore.com, online, he'll explain it there.
I'll explain it.
Yeah. Okay, so real quick, New Hampshire primary. Trump wins. Sanders wins. No surprise. On the Sanders side, the surprise is, I guess, the margin and
big margin.
The demographics of his win.
Yes.
Lots of young women. Nothing to do with cornholing.
Nothing to do with cornholing.
And making this election very the choices establishment versus anti-establishment.
Right. So a lot of what our conversation was, just to distill it down, though, was how does Bernie Sanders and then Donald Trump, how do they turn their popular appeal into an electoral win? How do they get the nomination? How do they win in a general election? The Clinton campaign clearly not connecting with young voters. Mm-hmm. But
clearly connecting with superdelegates.
Yes.
Well, absolutely.
And that's an interesting point to make, is that the Clinton party is going for the politicians. Mm-hmm. And the kids, there's nothing in traditional politics for the kids right now. Yeah. So they're going to Bernie Sanders. On the other side, I would have to say that they're going for the Trump side, because he's the guy they see on TV. I'll bet that guy knows Gene Simmons personally. Yeah. Gene Simmons
well,
is an old rock star.
You know what, but interestingly enough, when you talk to Trump supporters, at least when they did in New Hampshire, a lot of them said, well, I like his business acumen. I mean, they didn't use the word acumen, as you can imagine.
Right.
So
they
but,
never read about his
comes
bankruptcies.
You know,
bankruptcies.
Right. And you go, okay, you know, this is a guy who's declared bankruptcy several times. Who was given a small $1 million loan by his father in the early 70s. And then somebody did the math and said, you know, if he would have put that $1 million in a mutual fund and just walked away from it, he would have had twice the fortune that he has right now. Mm-hmm. So how is this guy some smart businessman is beyond me. He isn't. But again, as we have discussed repeatedly, I think that it seems to be that Republican voters, at least on the primary side so far, are immune to statistics and data and facts and rational thinking.
Right. And we've seen some below Trump on the stats there, some nice mix-ups. Rubio had a big moment in Iowa at the Robo Rubio. The Rubiotron 4000 gaffe at the debate, and he drops below Jeb Bush.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeb wasn't doing so hot. Cruz drops to Kasich, John Kasich. So again, I'm bolstered that the Eastern Seaboard has a little more sense and taste in the Republican candidates, Trump notwithstanding. Mm-hmm.
And did anyone see that Bush, I think it was just today, came out and said Citizens United is whacked and that it has turned the whole system on its ear, which is what we all say every week.
He has gone crazy. Mm-hmm. He's now pulling out Sanders talking points to try and get the nomination.
He's trying to get the middle votes.
It's working for Sanders.
Yeah. Well, we got a book of the week.
We do have a book of the week.
I went easy on everyone. You do not have to read this book of the week. You can go see the movie if you like. I would recommend reading the book, but
from a bookstore.
Which bookstore?
One of my favorites, Blue Frog Books. They're in Howell, Michigan.
I go there all the time.
Yeah,
being in the middle of the Red Mitten.
I did The Big Short this week.
It's not a great place to record
by Michael Lewis. The Big Short is on right now in the movie theaters, and most people don't need to know what the book is about. But you do need to know how it came about, and what it's about is the banking crisis of 2008, and how dumb they were. They just knew that this was a way to make money.
Some of them were dumb, some of them were rather crafty.
Yeah, one, as far as I can tell so far, was rather crafty, Steven Eisman. And he saw this happening. He was an underwriter. He was a numbers cruncher. He saw that they were writing notes on absolute garbage. It was just garbage.
Well, the one I was talking about was Goldman Sachs. Mm. Goldman Sachs, which I think is almost the locus of most evil in the world, was taking advantage of this housing bubble. They were making sure that those subprime mortgages were being pushed out to people that absolutely could not afford them, mm-hmm. and at the same time betting against the market and selling their own clients bad mortgages and then betting against the mortgages on there. It's unbelievable.
And that's how they all made their money, was selling short and selling notes that they knew would actually default. And they would bundle all of those notes as fast as they could, move them into a different vehicle to be able to trade it. Those people down the line got their little bit out, and the second person was actually left holding the bag. And the second person in this case was most of us, the citizens of the United States. This was the first time they had really ever tried to play with the housing market like this. And what they are trying to do again is very much like this.
So what you're saying in this book is the ending's predictable.
The ending is very predictable. We know what happened. And what makes this a cool book or a cool movie is they made this government stuff somewhat sexy. They made it have some espionage, have a story to it.
Right.
And it did make it go pretty good.
Michael Lewis is really good. He wrote, if you remember, Moneyball, a book about baseball, he takes topics that you would, on the surface, go, I don't know how you're going to make that accessible to the general public, and he has a great way of doing that, and from what I've read of the book, it does that. So
And it goes back, why I chose this one is I was feeling that this week, after the first Iowa, and you guys were on me about Hillary, is I get a bad feeling about her, and I get a very establishment feeling about her, and I wanted to see what the differences were, who these establishment people were doing and what they were doing. And the gist of this book is one gentleman, the main character, comes into the system, a rookie, and has no idea and ends up being a genius about it. But he had very early on figured out that all of Wall Street, all of Washington, is to screw the little guy. And the little guy is the people who they say that they are all for.
Right. And just to reiterate the fact that, this isn't such ancient history, and what comes around goes around. You know, during the Super Bowl this past Sunday, there was one of the commercials was for Rocket Mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Get a mortgage on your phone.
Yeah.
They show a woman at her child's school play getting a mortgage on her phone.
Yeah.
And, of course, this immediately drew a lot of criticism from people saying, you know, this is exactly the kind of thinking that led to the last bubble of, you know, easy mortgages. No, everyone, you get a mortgage.
That's not entirely true. So you can get this mortgage on your phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the point.
Yeah, exactly. It's convenient.
Right.
Not like it was a few years
ago. And the scarier thing is now they're doing it. They're doing this packaging with all kinds of different products. One that kind of stuck out to me was health membership dues. They have vehicles now where they package up these dues, which are basically accounts receivable for these companies, and they sell them off for profit.
Right.
And,
all right, The Big Short, Michael Lewis, by BlueFrogBooksAndMore.com. Go there and do that.
My favorite bookstore.
Yeah. Now we're going to...
I want to hear old John.
Yeah, let's... you know, that's... I hear that all the time.
young John. Old
John. Well, I know. I'm telling you. All right, so we're going to finish up our series. We're going to do retro poli-sci theater here. Taking you back to 1992. A friend of mine, me, Sean Daniel... And
John, you had a giant afro back in 92.
Well,
didn't you?
Yeah.
You actually had that kid play thing going, that sort of fountain hair.
Actually, Beyonce stole my look for the Super Bowl.
He had a half-fro.
which is different than the skullet.
No. I would have had the Jufro.
Oh, nice.
So that's a whole different...
The Hebrew hammer.
That's a whole different thing. Anyway, so we're going to play you two segments here that are going to finish up our... retrospective of Ted Kennedy from 1992, and this is, if you remember, he got remarried, the first segment will be his bachelor party, and then the second segment will be him going to the Vatican to seek an annulment, it's quality entertainment.
Comedy gold, really.
It is comedy gold, and it's of the highest intellectual order.
And it shows you what the establishment is doing behind closed doors.
Right. And it's completely fair to Ted Kennedy and all and all of his accomplishments.
Completely vetted.
It's just absolutely. So here we go.
And now it's time for another edition of Retro Poli-Sci Theater on the No Cry Zone.
Thanks, John. In sunny Florida, and I'm outside the Kennedy estate where the bachelor party for Ted has began, and... right now, let's go inside and see how it's going.
Hey, come on in. Come on. Ted's gonna jungle walk. Follow me.
Okay, John, we're gonna follow this guy. I guess Ted's gonna jungle walk. Oh, there he is, John. I can see the senator. Senator, do you have any comments about your upcoming marriage? The senator has just puked on me. Oh, my. Wow, this is a party going on in here, John. Oh, check all these pigs running around. That's it from Kennedy Estate. Back to you, John. Thanks, John. I'm here live at the Vatican. Senator Kennedy has flown in late last night, and he's here to seek an audience with the Pope. And actually, he wants to try and annul his previous marriage with Joan. And the senator, he went in to see the Pope about an hour ago. It's been a while. And we're waiting for him to come out. And, oh, John, I think the doors are opening right now. I think they're opening. Oh, boy, John, it is a party in here again. Oh, guess who's in the middle of the party? It's Ted himself. Senator! Hey, Senator! It sounds like you're having a little party here.
John Grimsky,
Senator, could it be the wine you're drinking?
I'm getting crackers or good too.
Oh, Ted, not too good. Ted, what about the annulment, Ted? What about the annulment, Senator?
Annulment? I came here for a party.
Woo! There you go, John. Not too much to tell you about the marital status. It's pretty up in the air. Back to you, John.
And that's been another edition of Retro Poli-Sci Theater on the No Cry Zone.
And there you go.
All sad.
So I apologize to the Kennedy family.
And there's still some Secret Service guys that are doing those same things, aren't they?
Right. Well,
for Obama.
The party hasn't ended, actually. Yeah. So, that party is still happening.
That's completely ridiculous nonsense, and you're welcome. So on that note, I guess we'll close out this abbreviated edition of the No Cry Zone.
Bye.
More time to read the book.
Think of all the genius you missed.
Yeah,
and it was a tour de force, an intellectual political tour de force. And guys, I want to say thank you for having me. I feel had, so that works out.
Right,
that
works out.
But you really should have heard the segment that didn't record. God, it was good. Uh-huh. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So with that,
we give you a little taste of it. Nah, I'm not even sure it's legal.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And the final word,
cornhole.
I've been crying over you. Head to abnormalentertainment.com for all of our podcasts and blogs. Go to cinemaheadcheese.com for our movie reviews and news. Don't forget our YouTube channels, Abnormal Podcast and Cinema Head Cheese. Get us on Twitter, at Abnormal Podcast, and find all of our shows and Abnormal Entertainment on Facebook.
You've been listening to the Abnormal Entertainment Network.